Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So, Turf Island is number one in transphobia.
Turf Island number one! Yes!
So, according to Vice News, the UK is so transphobic that some people are leaving.
That some trans people are leaving.
Yes.
Oh no!
Many transgender people feel increasingly unsafe in Britain. Some have decided to call time on the country altogether. In January of this year, the Council of Europe listed the UK alongside Russia, Hungary, and Poland as a site of extensive and often virulent attacks against LGBT plus rights.
I don't think we are, though, even on their scales. Like, we've got people, elements of the NHS, which are literally paying surgeons and GPs.
Yes, the Tavistock Clinic.
Yeah, the Tavistock Clinic to perform gender reassignment. We've also got parts of it that are paying surgeons to prescribe hormones to
teenagers. Leader of the opposition political party can't even define what a woman is. So,
and even the leader of the party in power, Boris Johnson, struggled to answer when asked.
He did squirm when asked, but he has at least said that he doesn't think transgender women should be competing in women's sport, which is something, I suppose.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I just want to bring something up regarding that, because I've done quite a lot of content on this recently, and I did a premium hangout that you should check out if
which
you're a member on the website.
Talking about in a second.
Yes, excellent. Well, as part of that, I was reading through accounts of people who were suffering through trans regret, and one of the things that was very common throughout it, especially with one transgender woman called Karina Khan, is that she was like, oh, well, it was only because I was desperate to think of myself as an actual pure-blooded biological woman that I was feeling so much discomfort with myself in the first place. The moment I accepted, no, I'm not a woman and never will be, I am a trans woman, which is something else, that she started to feel comfortable in her own skin. So all of these trans activists talking about, oh, this is what trans women are women, what you're actually doing is causing more harm to the cause that you supposedly support by setting an unattainable standard. Because you can pretend all you want, but for actual trans people, they know on the inside. They always know.
I mean, they're going to be able to look in the mirror and see that male jawline and those broad shoulders. They're not going to necessarily, they might pretend that they're convinced, but deep down they know that they're never really going to be the real deal. I mean, there are some examples of people who could fool you, but they're few and far between.
There are people that pass very well, but oftentimes I find the people who pass very well are the ones who are most honest about themselves.
Like, that's true, yeah.
Like Blair White's like, oh yeah, I'm engaged to a guy, but he's pretty gay to be going out with me, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I at least have a bit more respect for people who do that.
Yeah.
So the article continues, in February, the UK's equalities watchdog, the EHRC, was disavowed by a coalition of 19 LGBT plus organisations who called on the Global Alliance of National Human Rights Institutions to revoke the body's A rating over institutional transphobia. In April, the government's own LGBT plus convention, Safe to Be Me, was cancelled after being boycotted over its decision to exclude trans people from its ban on LGBT conversion therapy.
And why was the Conservative government throwing an LGBT plus convention anyway?
Well, yes.
It's not very conservative.
It's almost like, it's not really as so-called bad as they're trying to make out. It's a weird sort of scenario where they're trying to make out that the UK is ridiculously transphobic, but I would go so far as to say we're almost too accepting of this. Like, we're just willing to entertain that men can be women and women can be men, when obviously that's not the case.
Certainly within large metropolitan cities, there is a massive load of people who are more than happy to just go along with all of this and counter-protest. For instance, just J.K. Rowling showing up and having dinner with some of her friends.
Ooh, so terrible. Yeah, and then it had everyone freaking out about that as well, didn't they?
Yeah, but that's basically the only reason these people are throwing out that, oh, it's such a transphobic turf island, is because we have people like J.K. Rowling living here and we don't just exile her.
The queen of turf island.
Yeah, basically. They're like, if we don't exile J.K. Rowling, I'm unsafe. She could appear behind any corner and stab me to death.
Being a billionaire, she's around every corner.
She might misgender me. Oh, God.
She's not got better things to do. She's just out there to get me. So the article continues, transgender identity hate crimes, of course hate crime being a load of nonsense, increased 3% from 2020 to 2021, according to the Home Office annual hate crimes report. Of course, hate crimes, yes. I don't understand really hate crime in general. Like,
there's no real objective measure for hate crime.
We're going to try and theorise what's in your head. We're going to tell you what emotions you're feeling when you say something that we disagree with. Which it's kind of dangerous territory, isn't it? The government's going to get inside your head and they're going to tell you what to think.
Interestingly, I mean, it's been pointed out before, but like if you commit a crime like assault or murder, for instance, sometimes you could probably say that was probably pushed by hate, encouraged by hate.
Well, it certainly wasn't encouraged by apathy, was it?
Yeah, if I feel the need to murder somebody, that could be quite a hateful act to commit towards them. But for some reason, we have it classified differently if it's a white man killing a black man or a white man killing a white man. One's a hate crime and one isn't. It makes no sense. And hate crime is so broad as to include just, like I say, misgendering people as well.
They also say it should be noted that the worry increase follows on from a shocking 16% leap in such crimes the previous year. Even the BBC has been accused of platforming hate speech. Yeah, right.
I know exactly what this will be referring to.
The woke BBC, known for being the peddler of leftist junk. So let's have a look at what this so-called hate speech truly is. This is an article from iNews. How a BBC article on trans women and lesbians became the eye of the storm in a transphobia row. And this is from the 5th of November, 2021. So, yes, obviously the trans stuff has been in the news a lot recently because apparently we have nothing better to worry about. It's not like we've got horrendous inflation and, you know, wars in Ukraine.
To be fair, to throw out the argument, because I dislike that kind of argument in the first place, because it's why do we have to worry about one thing when there's other things to be worrying about at the same time? But I get what you're saying, because obviously we're counter to the thing that these guys are worrying about, which is, oh no, what if somebody says something mean to the innocent trans person?
But it's just such a it's such a small minority of people getting such a large amount of spotlight. It's just like...
Yeah, that's the thing.
Why do they even deserve, like, front and centre news all of the time? If you're so underprivileged, why are you always the focal point of these stories? It's ridiculous. So the article goes on to say, the BBC has deleted a passage from a controversial news article claiming lesbians are being pressured into sex by transgender women following a backlash. And I mean, to be fair, there have been many cases where transgender people have said, if you don't have sex with me, you're a bigot. If that's not pressuring people into having sex with you, I do not know.
I do kind of love this, because it is literally a lot of the mainstream media coming out in favour and going, yes, those lesbian women should have sex with men, with women with penises, yes.
Oh, dear. The story published last Thursday, which was, by the by, sparked an uproar among trans people, campaigners and MPs after it claimed lesbians are being coerced into... Yes, they just said that. The broadcaster announced it had removed quotes from one... source mentioned in the article, Lily Cade, in light of comments the woman had made on her personal website, which has been down since Wednesday, including appearing to call for lynching of a number of high-profile trans women and describing trans women as vile, weak, and disgusting. So it's not even necessarily for the supposed quote she added to the article, it's just for things she said elsewhere.
Now, I imagine as well, because there's a lot of context left out of this, is the vile, weak, and disgusting and lynching and sort of stuff like that Have they put them in the right context?
I highly doubt it.
Or is it potentially that she just described maybe one trans woman individually as vile, weak, and disgusting, perhaps? If the website has been down, if the website's up, let us know what it actually says in the context. Mm-hmm. But I doubt that they've translated it well here.
So, yes, basically, the problem here isn't necessarily that the BBC is peddling this narrative. It's that they chose someone who they didn't research their background for, which, you know, it's not exactly the same thing that they're trying to make out is the problem. And if you want to see the original BBC article with the quote, here it is: "We're being pressured into sex by some trans women," is the title. And that's from the 26th of October, 2021. And as you mentioned earlier, actually, on the website, you did a hangout with Carl. These are our premium hangouts for members of the website, where you get to engage in our conversations live, and we get to read out your comments and see how you react to what we're talking about. And this is your one about the reality of trans regret that you were talking about. And I think that this is something important to bring up, because, of course, something that the media isn't going to tell you is that people regret doing this to themselves, these permanent medical operations. And this is something that can ruin people's lives and has ruined people's lives. And they're not putting that on the table and allowing people to make a reasonable judgment.
Yes, and there's actively parts of the trans community who are saying, we can't platform stuff like this. We don't want people talking about this. And it's one, if you're going to check this out, it's not for the weak of heart. There is some pretty nasty stuff and depressing stuff in here, sadly. But one of the interesting things was that a few of these women, from what I'm aware, basically said that they'd developed symptoms of gender dysphoria from early childhood, which seems to actually point towards them actually having gender dysphoria. Mm-hmm. They made the decision in sound mind to transition medically, and then still regretted it because, as far as we're aware, because there is such a difficulty in researching these things currently, even if you are suffering from gender dysphoria, we don't know that transitioning is going to make any significant difference to whatever anxiety and depression that you're facing.
Well, it goes against the entire philosophy of clinical psychology that you treat the cause of the problem. You don't just have these palliative measures that make people feel better. You actually say, okay, well, this is the root cause. We'll tackle that. We're not going to just make you feel better in the short term. We're going to get rid of the root cause of it, which is the gender dysphoria. It's not you just lean into the dysphoria.
Yeah, you don't just go like, oh, Mr. Therapist, I've got anorexia. How can you help me? I think I'm really fat. Yeah, you are fat, you pig. Put the pie down. That's not how you do it. Let's get you signed up for liposuction.
Mm-hmm. So returning back to this Vice article, it goes on to say, the UK is becoming an increasingly transphobic place. Though there is scant research on the number of trans people leaving the country, I feel less and less safe living in the country and find myself eyeing up potential exits. And I'm not the only one. So it's the actual... the actual author talking from their own experience. It's not this widespread phenomenon that has been widely researched.
I think we should trade. I think these people, if they're so desperate for an exit, I think they should try out Syria and see how accepting they are over there.
Mm-hmm. And they go on to say, I spoke with three trans people who have either recently left or are in the process of leaving the UK, which is kind of questionable considering... The title of the article is, the UK is so transphobic that some trans people are leaving. Well, that's three people.
I found three examples.
I feel like that's not the strongest argument to make for your point. A sample of three people isn't really a trend, is it? That you're trying to identify.
It's an anecdote.
Yes, it is. This is perhaps something you could tell at the pub, not course for an entire article, is it?
Not if you're a Vice journalist, Josh.
I mean, do you really want to call these people journalists? I mean,
what else am I going to find at the bottom of this barrel? Come on.
I mean, the term journalist is pretty much up there with, I don't know, what are some really horrific things? I don't want to be too controversial, but
exchanger of blood diamonds.
They're like the lawyers of information purveyance, aren't they? No one really likes them. And if you're failing to meet even those basic low standards, then you're really doing a terrible job.
Have you seen that tweet that's gone around of Ice-T, where he's like, "Oh, I support the gamers, I support the blah de blah," and then someone's like, "What about the journalists? Oh, I don't know about them."
Rightly so.
Yeah.
So he says, whatever they are, he or she says, none of these trans people I spoke with claim to have found a utopia of trans inclusion in the new homeland. Each country has its own issues. Cami Osaba moved to Norway from the UK in 2020 after coming out in 2016. Alongside transphobia, their decision to move was inspired by Brexit, for some reason.
Okay.
And a desire to stay with their longtime partner, who is Norwegian. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's that latter one, probably. It's probably not Brexit and transphobia, is it really?
They probably just wanted to move to Norway to be with their partner.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to throw out a wild guess.
I mean, abstract political choices aren't really reasons to leave the country, are they?
Oh, no, I've just seen the next paragraph as well. The non-binary 23-year-old. Yep.
The non-binary 23-year-old has faced problems around trans healthcare in Norway, saying the country's only gender identity clinic is notoriously difficult to be referred to and incredibly binarist. Just inventing words now.
This gender clinic that provides sex change operations only sees two sexes. My God.
Adding that transition with them essentially comes as a package deal. On the other hand, they added, I simply went to a GP here, handed over a psychologist note that said, I have gender dysphoria and should take a dose of estrogen, and got that no problem. This is a marked contrast to the experience of many trans people in the UK, where you can be stuck on an NHS waiting list for years. That's just the NHS. That's transphobia.
That.
I mean, there's people who are left waiting for an ambulance for like 48 hours.
And then you get into the emergency, the A&E room.
And then you're on a bed for another 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
This is just...
This is just socialised healthcare.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. This is just inefficient structuring of healthcare where you don't effectively incentivize the employees to be efficient. This is exactly what that is. That's not transphobia. That is just what it's like to get any amount of medical attention in this country. So, moving on, here is another article. A surge in transphobia is endangering trans people in the UK, and this is from last month. For years, trans folks have been sounding the alarm on rising levels of transphobia in the United Kingdom, warning that the country is becoming an increasingly unsafe and hostile place for transgender people. And I just don't know what they're on about, because they talk about hate crimes and stuff like that, but it's basically being called names.
Yeah.
And because people's noses are being rubbed in it constantly, I'm not really surprised. You're forcing your ideology down people's throats, they're reacting, and you're playing victim a lot of the time.
If people are actively being, you know, physically hurt mm-hmm. or physically coerced into things, then that's terrible. But
I mean, I'm sure it does happen.
That's a standard I apply to anybody,
mm-hmm.
not just trans people. I don't just section off the trans people and go, these are the special case where it's bad. No, physical violence is always bad.
Mm-hmm. If someone just indiscriminately beats you up, that's terrible. Equally terrible, no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps more terrible if you're a woman than a man, biologically speaking, because at least a man has a better chance of defending himself. But there we go. With that caveat out the way, there is more. Young queer people feel less happy in Scotland than they did 5 years ago, research finds. I mean, being happy in Scotland is a difficult thing at the best of times. I mean, have you seen the weather up there? It's even worse than down south.
Mm.
So... yes, hopefully people are more cheerful in Scotland, but I doubt it.
So young queer people discover Scotland. That's the problem that's been elucidated here.
Have you not seen Trainspotting? It doesn't look like a cheery place.
It does look like a miserable place, actually, now that you mentioned Trainspotting.
Mm-hmm. And moving on to a Pink News article, who can always be relied upon for good journalism, if you can call it that. The LGB Alliance activist who wants gay and lesbian Glexit suspended from the Conservative Party. So yes, this is the party in power that supposedly are the ones oppressing all of these trans people, suspending someone who basically wants trans people separated from gay, lesbian and bisexual people.
I can understand, but I would have suspended them for coming up with Glexit as well,
to be fair. That is a linguistic abomination.
Yeah.
So, Alex Branham is running for both Manchester City Council as a committee chair of the LGBT plus Conservatives, the party's official queer wing, which, yes, that's right, I'm a Conservative. They have a queer wing. The LGBT plus conservative said in a Twitter statement on Monday evening, the 25th of April, that two members had been suspended from the Tory party amid multiple complaints and thus automatically suspended from the LGBT plus conservatives. So yes, complaints apparently are enough to get you kicked out of the Conservative Party just because you don't go along with the trans ideology.
It's a very particular type of complaint, it seems.
The group confirmed to Pink News that the two suspended members were Branham, who described himself as proudly gender critical, and his partner Bradley, whose bio states he is a gender atheist and a TERF. So yes, these are your great oppressors. This is the Conservative Party kicking people out of their party for being critical of transgenderism. Great. They're really making a mountain out of a molehill, really.
They really are. Because I, you know, I don't think that people should, you know, completely define themselves by their sexuality. And to be honest, as far as I can tell, the whole LGB people, for the most part, probably wouldn't if it were under different circumstances. It's just that they can recognize that people who later on in life, after they become a teenager, after they grow up from being a teenager, would end up being gay or lesbian, are being told by institutions, you know, oh, that must mean that, because you're not just a walking stereotype, you must be a woman or you must be a man. So I can understand why they're doing that, but this just kicked them out straight away just because they're saying the wrong things.
So it's worth mentioning that the Conservative government in 2015 wrote a 30-page recruitment and retention guide for transgender staff, and this is a guide for employers in the country. So this is the supposedly transphobic government in the transphobic country writing this 31-page guide of how to basically recruit and retain transgender staff in your company.
Okay.
So this is it. This is the transphobic country that we're living in right now.
I can see it's got 31 pages, which seems far more than is necessary for a document of this kind. The two points should be, are they qualified? Are they easy to get along with? There. Done.
Yes. I mean, it's ridiculous. On the one hand, of course, we've got people screeching about us being so transphobic, and on the other, we've got the government bending over backwards to accommodate them, which is just ridiculous. But I wanted to end on a little bit of a white pill, and that is everyone getting annoyed with Owen Jones, which
Owen
is
Jones
great.
Screeching, yes, gives me life.
So he's been attacked by, I think, Private Eye for being a misogynist.
I think
which
he's
is
been
quite
attacked by everyone at this point, because it's so obvious.
I don't actually think he is a misogynist, but it is funny to see the left turn.
I don't want to throw out the misogynist claims, but it is always interesting how he always seems to go way harder at people when they're women than when they're men.
That is true.
Because I can only assume it's because he knows that he could probably get away with it a bit easier than if he's going against men like that.
It's possible. I don't know. I don't know what goes on his head, because he is, of course, a socialist. So it's impossible
to
speculate.
Probably crickets up there.
I mean, 4 years of psychology at university is not even scratching the surface of understanding the mind of Owen Jones.
Owen Jones is still impenetrable.
So he says, "We have lost all of our trans members of staff," meaning at The Guardian, which is probably the major left-leaning newspaper, which is amusing to me.
Yes.
So there are no transgender journalists in media, basically, which media cares about. Apparently, this is not cancel culture or silencing. And he's trying to position himself as a champion of transgenderism whilst everyone is just screeching at him that he is a misogynist and a bully.
Well, there's an interesting point that you bring up. Oh, he's the only... there's probably no trans people in media. They're probably are still. I can think of some like Sophia Narwitz. The problem is that they're not screeching leftists and are in those positions for the merit of their journalism, not just because they're trans.
I just find it funny that The Guardian, which is like known for being insufferably leftist, is just like, yeah, no trans people for us. And our only trans supportive journalist is a man.
Who hates women.
Yes. So he goes on to say, "It frankly breaks my heart to see placards denouncing The Guardian at LGBTQ protests and younger people denouncing it as transphobic." Well, Owen, it warms my heart to see it. You're devouring your own, finally.
What the left is best at.
It's about to see. Also, he goes on to say, I personally believe that The Guardian will inevitably end unequivocally affirming and supporting trans people because the vast majority of its staff have this position and because trans rights is an article of faith for younger people who the paper's future depends on.
I was literally about to say this is just a statement of religious faith and he just says it. He just says it at the end. Okay.
Also, something that was funny, he says trans rights are, is an article of faith. He's meant to be a journalist. Shouldn't it be trans rights are an article of faith? So he's God be, help the editor at The Guardian.
He's going to be grateful for Elon installing that edit button then, surely.
Yes. And obviously, he's just admitting that it's some sort of religious belief rather than anything rational and evidence-based.
Religion makes it sound a bit too proper, like cult.
Yes, actually, you are right. I've got a bit more respect for religion.
Yeah.
So he goes on to say, on the other hand, I'm on the receiving end of a very coordinated campaign to drive me out of The Guardian as its only LGBTQ columnist from both within and outside the newspaper. I highly doubt that you're the only person who writes about that sort of thing at The Guardian. Are you having a laugh? He is the only one
who's part of the alphabet, though.
Yes. Known cuckold Owen Jones.
So the Guardian is just trying to drive out all of its gay, lesbian, and trans authors and columnists.
The Guardian's now become the most prejudiced institution in the country. This isn't a small violin campaign. It's not about me. They want all trans allies out of public life. I mean, yes. Can you hear that? Is that what is that?
Yeah, let me bring it closer to the microphone.
I think it's a tiny little violin.
Yeah.
So he goes on to say the campaign against, say, me can't be divorced from the campaign against Stonewall UK.
That's right. I am gay people. As the monolith.
I love the gays. He's like the Chancellor Palpatine of LGBT, isn't he?
I love gay people.
the main LGBT civil rights organisation in the country, anti-trans activists are literally engaging in an attempt to destroy the organisation in its entirety. Yes, we are.
Anti-trans activists like the BBC.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and the final thing that I wanted to end on is the Queen of Turf Island dunking on the trans people. Apparently, it stirs up hate to post this picture of black lesbians marching for their rights. So here's a picture of Alex Drummond, white-bearded, Stonewall-approved lesbian, plus an interview. And let's just have a look at this, this was in response to the Lesbian Visibility Week, but let's just have a look at this so-called transgender lesbian.
Now, that's a feminine beard if ever I've seen one.
Thicker beard than I can grow, probably.
Yeah, myself included as well, at least on the cheeks, yeah.
But anyway,
well, I guess we've got a lot to learn from women after all.
It seems like it. But although despite trans people saying we are one of the most transphobic countries, it seems like our government has missed the memo. Seemingly, The Guardian, hive of leftist villainy, is the most transphobic and the Conservative government is the least. This is some sort of weird clown world inversion of the rightful order of things. But hopefully some sanity will be restored and people will return to just referring to people by their biological sex. I mean, hopefully we can actually live up to the term Turf Island. Although, to be honest, we can get rid of that feminist part as well.
Yeah.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the book clubs we do, this one from Harry on irreversible damage of our transgender craze. If you want to find out what else Harry's putting out, you can follow him on Getter at Harry Lotus Eater on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.